SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
IVF, or in vitro fertilisation, is a pathway to parenthood for many people across Australia. For some, it helps overcome fertility issues. For others, it opens the door to having a family as a same-sex couple or as a single parent. Because IVF is regulated differently across states and territories, the process can feel complex at first.
Support can make all the difference. Many people do find strength in talking to a fertility counsellor. They can also join peers and support groups.
I'm your host, Maram Ismail. In this episode, we break down what to expect when deciding to go through IVF in Australia. When the world's first IVF baby was born in the UK in 1978, it changed the future of fertility treatment. Today, in vitro fertilization is widely used around the world, and Australia is among the countries with the highest rate of IVF cycles per capita. Professor Georgina Chambers is the director of the National Perinatal Epidemiology and Statistics Unit at the University of New South Wales. She also oversees the Australian and New Zealand Assisted Reproduction Database, known as ANZARD. This national registry tracks every IVF cycle carried out across Australia and New Zealand, Professor Chambers says.
So we get 100% of cycles reported to us, because otherwise they would not be in accordance with their code of practice and their licensing agreement. So we have a very rich amount of data to produce statistics on, to undertake research, to inform the public, and to populate the yourivfsuccess.com.au website, which is a website for people to find out about IVF treatment in Australia.
The data collected feeds into yourivfsuccess.com.au, a website funded by the Australian government and independent of fertility clinics. The University of New South Wales gathers the information and presents it in a way that's accessible to the public. So, what can people actually learn from the site? Visitors can explore national IVF statistics and use interactive tools tailored to their own situation. One of these tools helps females undergoing IVF estimate their chances of having a baby, Professor Chambers explains.
And that's an online calculator that allows people to enter information about themselves, such as their age, their partner's age, their diagnosis if they've got one, any previous history of IVF treatment that they've had, and then they can get a personalised individual estimate of their chance of having a baby through IVF.
IVF success rates for all clinics in Australia are also available to the public through an online database.
Patients can search by the name of the clinic, or they can pop in their postcode and search for clinics that are near them. And then for each of those clinics, we provide success rates and compare those to the national average of all IVF cycles in Australia. So that gives patients a way of comparing IVF clinics that are near them before they visit a clinic.
Petra Whale is the president of the Fertility Society of Australia and New Zealand. Her background is in clinical embryology. She says success rates are only part of the picture.
What matters just as much, if not more, is the level of personalised care, the transparency, the scientific rigour and the support services that are available. Patients really need to know that it's okay to ask clinics about their approach to patient care. How do they tailor the treatment for this patient, and how do they support people when things don't go to plan? Or in this particular audience, you know, how do they tailor for multicultural differences and requirements?
Fertility treatments, including IVF, can be costly. Most people will have to pay the full, or at least some of the costs, through their private health insurance. Eligible patients may be able to claim Medicare rebates, and your state or territory's health service may also provide government-funded services. It's important to speak with your doctor to understand what support is available to you. Associate Professor Alex Polyakov is a senior fertility consultant at one of the service providers in Victoria providing fertility services through the public health system. He says IVF is not the only treatment for infertility and provides a couple of examples of fertility services offered at the Royal Women's Hospital.
And so there is a unit called the Public Fertility Service, which accepts referrals from GPs. And then patients come in and have all the investigations. And that is usually followed by treatment, whatever is required. For example, they provide ovulation induction, they provide intrauterine insemination and IVF service.
Whether you choose a public provider or a private clinic, the first steps are usually the same. You'll first need a referral from your family doctor. You'll then provide your history during your first visit to the fertility clinic and undertake a series of medical examinations.
The second appointment is the most important appointment because then we look at all the results and try to work out what the problem might be. And then depending on what is identified, we would formulate a treatment plan. So, for example, someone may have an ultrasound and they didn't know, but they may have some sort of abnormality, like big fibroids or significant endometriosis. Then you have to decide whether to treat it surgically before doing IVF or to do IVF and see how it goes. It all depends what you find.
Throughout the process, people are supported by a team of specialists. Dr. Whale from the Fertility Society of Australia and New Zealand explains who's involved.
Your fertility specialist, where the patient first interacts on their fertility journey and prescribes some sort of intervention. So a fertility nurse will help the patient understand the medication. The clinical embryologist will sit behind the scenes in the laboratory setting and the fertility counsellor in terms of psychological support.
Depending on your state or territory, fertility counselling may be mandatory by law for assisted reproductive treatments like IVF, especially those involving sperm or egg donation and surrogacy. The cost of this counselling is included in treatment fees. This type of counselling has a specific focus, Associate Professor Polyakov explains.
It's more counselling as to what happens if, for example, a couple creates embryos and then they split up. What happens to those embryos? What would you like to happen? These sort of things.
Even when it's not mandatory, Dr. Wells says counseling can be a crucial source of support. It helps you understand and prepare for any possible outcome during your or your partner's fertility treatment.
Support can make all the difference. Many people do find strength in talking to a fertility counselor. They can also join peers and support groups. Importantly, their fertility journey does not have to be a solo experience.
And before we let you go for this episode, remember that infertility is common. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
It's experienced by every aspect of our society and every culture and every ethnicity. And the right to have a family is a fundamental right. And somebody's desire to pursue that right should be encouraged and supported.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Zoe Thomedo, hosted and mixed by me, Maram Ismail. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.